It's not necessarily the typical reading for Christmas, right? But this year, since we had Christmas Eve so close to Christmas Day, I was forced to take a decision. And last night we did celebrate Christmas Eve with a little bit of different verses from that story in Luke about the birth of Christ. And what I would like to do today is only one thing, because I know that it is a difficult day because we had Christmas Eve yesterday, and again, a lot of family was around. Some of us didn't get to bed until late. And this is my aim this morning, to keep you awake. Yes, I know, it's going to be hard, so pray for me. Now again, last night we read of Zephaniah, a prophet that is not heard of a lot. And it was not a typical text for Christmas either. And today we just engage with this text. And the first verses of John, not being typical Christmas text, are still a brief section that makes us think about what is happening and what we celebrate during this time of Christmas. As we mentioned last night, there seemed to be a theme that repeats itself along the way. Even from the times of Isaiah, we've read a lot of the texts from Isaiah way back 800 years before Christ was born. Zephaniah is still 600 years from when Christ was born. And we hear the story through Luke about the birth of Christ. And that story, of course, is of 2,000 years ago. So we have all these stories that are being heard throughout time. And I know that there's that theme that repeats itself. There is hope. There is hope in the middle of all the chaos. Now, in the story of Luke, we're introduced to an angel. And the angel is bearing witness to Mary of something that is going to happen to her. And we know, we heard last night about the intricacies of that announcement for Mary. But we are also told in that story, first chapter of Luke, about Zechariah and Elizabeth's part of the story. Now we know these two characters, right? We didn't read them last night, but we know they're there. We know about that story. But we are told that Zechariah is also presented by an angel with a situation that is going to happen to him. And it's going, and that was an extraordinary experience for this man who was a servant of God. He served in the temple. He was going to have a child. Now this is an older folk, an older guy. And we know that having a child at his age, although not impossible, was difficult. But not only that, but Elizabeth, his wife, was barren. And through the story we hear that he is left mute because he questions the angel. How in the world is this going to happen? Wait a minute, haven't you seen us? Right? Haven't you seen who we are? You're coming with these news? How is that going to be? And of course, we know through the story that the angel says, silly. Just because you doubted, I'm going to teach you a lesson. Actually, that wasn't what it said. Right? But as he's left mute, because he shows doubt in disbelief of what he's being promised to him. Now, 9 months later, we know that the story goes, it's the story that he speaks again. His ability to speak resurfaces after the birth of John, the one that we call John the Baptist. Zechariah also becomes a witness. He is also another one that, after he sees everything that happens, is laid down in Scripture for us that he glorifies God. And so does Elizabeth. Elizabeth does that because shortly after she gives birth, she sees Mary, who comes to their house to deliver some news about something that is spoken to her as well, about her pregnancy. And the moment that she approaches Elizabeth, you know what happened, right? What happened in her belly, right? This little guy was already excited. And we are told that little detail from Luke. Hey, the baby jumped in her. Interesting, right? Interesting, because I don't know about you, but I don't think that kids at that stage are aware of everything. But I don't know nothing, so. He jumps. As he already knew who was there. See, all these characters and all these scriptures we've heard, they all precede John, the writer of the gospel that we started with today. And he puts down these words that we read in the beginning. Right? Does that sound familiar to us? In the beginning, God, right? You remember that from Genesis, right? Well, that's how he starts. But you see, John's cosmological witness, the way that he expresses this reality of existence of God goes beyond even Genesis. It's before that beginning. He starts from the time before time, when the Word, right? That's how we are hearing it, the Word. Now, I'm going to interject here a little bit of my Spanish, because the way that I read Scripture when I was growing up was in Spanish language, and in Spanish, that verse in John doesn't say the word. It says the verb. Huh. So through that, we see that the term in Hebrew is not only about a word. It's an active word. Are you with me? All right? Are you awake?
Yes.
Great, I'm getting it. So the verb was then. That active word was then. So it is from that witness we continue to hear that this person we call Jesus has existed since the time before time. And it has been active. And it is from that we recognize that John himself, the writer of the gospel, is another witness for us of this process that has been going on like forever, right? Now he goes on to speak in verse 6 about this John. It's not clear whether he's speaking about John the Baptist, John himself, the gospel writer. But he says that this John is going to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. Remember Zechariah? Remember what happened to him? He expressed something to the angel that, you know what? You and I also have expressed at some point in our life. This belief. I don't care who you are, how your experience has been, whether it's been in Latin America, in the United States of America. I want to leave. No. If you are alive, at some point in your life, there has been that doubt about God. But he comes and he testifies about that one that was way back then. So we're introduced to this concept of a promise, a fulfillment of an everlasting existence, an eternal existence. And the witness here is the one who is manifesting these things. He's saying, this is the one who has been active from the beginning. Now, all these things are lining up. All these things are happening through history, and they are witnesses for us, for a purpose, and only for one purpose, that you and I may believe. As one of my daughters would say, it's hard. It's hard. Because we know, since the time of Abraham, you remember Abraham? You know that character, right? You know? Right? Abraham? You know? And even before the time, that time, from the time of Moses. And even before that time, there has been this disbelief in humankind. This belief about the great things that God has done for us. So this is nothing new. If you have experienced that, don't worry. You're in good company. We all have. I think it's like a trademark, right? For being human. You got to have that stamp, right? Some point in our lives, we're just like, what? God? Is it for real? But then we hear these witnesses telling us. So I think that God knows. I think that God knows exactly how we think. And I think that God is aware that we need something. And he lays it out for us, again, quote, so that all might believe. So that all might believe through these witnesses. And to this day, we're still struggling. And I tell you, we suck at it. We do. Because it should be simple. Israel had God with them. Remember? Do you remember that Israel had all these manifestations of God in their presence? And what happened to them? God brings the law to them, and what happened? Next thing you know, they're worshiping this other thing. It goes to say, right? We suck at it. So this believing thing, it seems to be hard. And I think that is why it's called faith. I think that's why it's called faith. And this is why we're told in verse 18 in that first chapter. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made Him known. You see, God Himself has to come to earth in a way that we would be able to identify with, so that person can be the one that tells us, God is true. I've been with Him since I don't know when. I can tell you a little bit about Him. God Himself had to come to earth so that we might believe. And I guess the point is that we are surrounded with a cloud of witnesses. You remember that section in Hebrews, right? We're surrounded with a cloud of witnesses so that we can hear not only John's voice telling us this, but so that we know that over and over and again, God has been active in the world throughout history and even before then. But above all of them, above all of these experiences, there's this one fella, Jesus, God Himself. This week on Friday, a group of us quasi-musicians, that was me, the other are musicians, but you know, some of us are hackers at music, got together and we went to the detention center in Aurora. And we went there to bring a little bit of the Christmas spirit to people who are incarcerated. And we sang, Angels We Have Heard on High, right? And we talked about the announcement. And we talked about the one. We tried to convey to those people that God is present even in their condition. Even in that situation that they're not in control of anymore, God is with them. It was amazing. We had all kinds of responses from the different pods. You know, they are in different, they called pods, and some were Haitians, and some were from Asian, some were from Caribbean, and from Latin America. There were people from everywhere. And we were singing these songs. And when we left, it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I just wondered. I wonder what they heard. I wonder if they really connected with this message. Because Christmas has become about everything else, hasn't it? Christmas has become about the buying. Because you gotta have gifts. So it has been commercialized. And it also becomes about the music, right? But you know what? Not even the music anymore is on the radio. Have you heard that? You only can find Christmas music in certain stations. Before, it didn't matter, right? It didn't matter what station you were listening to, we could hear the music, but no, not anymore. Because Christmas has become about something else. And I guess the point today is that we need to remember that this witness that we've had through the years is about this one. And that one is Jesus. Let's not forget about this one. God Himself. We're left with the decision in our hearts to believe in this Christ of Christmas, to believe in this Christ of salvation for humankind, or not to. We have an option. You see, it's up to us to hear these witnesses or not to. And we have the option. We heard one of the readings today about that text in John 3:16, right? What does it say? For God so loved the world that He gave. So that if you believe, you shall not perish. Would you believe today? Would you believe Him today? Would you put your trust in this one? Would you follow the one? Would you worship this one as we do? Let's pray. Lord, we have heard about the angels, about the shepherds, about the wise men. We have heard about kings. We have heard about the turnaround of the rest of the story. And we have heard about a cross. May we be able to connect with this story as a living story, an active word for us. May it bring life to our lives. The light of the world given for us. In Jesus we pray. Amen.